The Narnias podcast is brought to you in association with Season Master and the Window Workshop. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 330 of the 9 Years podcast. Yes, we have finally made it to episode 330. We do apologise for the little break we've had over the past month or so. As we said before, I think sometimes life just gets in the way, unfortunately. But yeah, here we are, back again. I am Nick Draper, joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deacons, and we're going to catch up on how the season is going this week with a particular focus on Tuesday night's home defeat to Accrington and a look ahead to the trip to Morecambe this coming Saturday, as well as an Aaron Sass Supermatch game as well. Stu, should we just paint the picture of where we are? Pick up how the season is going since it's been a while since we spoke to everyone.
Sounds good. Yeah, sounds good. We're at the, must be what, at a quarter part of the quarter stage of the season, probably.
No, we're a third. If... we're a third of the way through.
Oh, even further.
Mm-hmm. We are indeed. Yeah, 15 games played, of which we have won 5, drawn 7, and now lost 3. All of those 3 defeats have come at Plough Lane, which has left us in 10th place. If the season ends now, I think we're all pretty happy with.
Yeah, definitely.
That we are, as we speak to you, we are winless in 4, however, which I don't think is a bad thing at all as well, because I think it just helps, as we say, dampen expectations a little bit. So we think people are getting slightly carried away, especially after, what was it, those consecutive wins away at Warsaw, and then we beat Tranmere at home, and then we won at Harrogate. Yeah.
And then a very good draw at Mansfield, to be fair. If we could play away for the rest of the... I say that, I jest with that, because, of course, we took so long trying to find us away home. But our away form is really good, isn't it? And I think that's more because we're better counter-attacking than we are the ones... You know, it's like when you're dancing, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like ballroom, you know, the one that leads is the one that controls it all. And we are not taking control.
No. And we will talk about that on a tactical level a little bit in a moment, because we focus on that Accrington defeat. I will just say, yeah, as you say there, it is just the one home win this season so far, 1 win in 7. That was against Tranmere, who are struggling. 10-man Tranmere as well. Yes. Interesting point you make there, Stu, about us playing on the break. So Tuesday night, we lost 4-2 at home to Accrington Stanley. Accrington played very, very well. They were 2-0 up inside the first 10 minutes. Comfortably the better side on the evening. Joe Pritchard got 2. Tommy Lee, the former or still current husband of Pamela Anderson, not sure.
he must be knackered.
Scored a bit of a worldie. And then we gave away a really poor goal. Having got 2 Omar Bugle goals got us back to 3-2, but then we gave away a really, really poor goal for the fourth. Their centre-half on loan from Norwich, Brad Hills, scored that one. We had made a few changes. We had to make a triple substitution at half time, although I'm still wondering if this is a bit of an urban myth, because apparently Josh Nerville came on for Connor Evans, but I am not sure if anyone has seen Josh Nerville or did see Josh Nerville.
It's because you're getting old, and he was on the other side of the pitch when the electronic scoreboards is.
The advertising hoardings.
Yeah, I think we've worked with the colours, and we've tried to use the correct colours. I've chatted to a few people that do the sort of side of it, and they've tried to make sure we use the right colours, the right tones.
Doesn't matter.
But it's just bright, isn't it? We just need to turn the contrast or the brightness down a bit.
Just get rid of them. It's very straightforward.
No, it's very simple. I'll be lost about them now. I quite like them.
Really?
I'll be lost about them.
No one is, you know, no one is attending a football match, Stu, because they've got digital advertising hoardings.
No. But it's all about the ambience, isn't it, and stuff like that. Do you remember as we were going through the leagues, and I was saying, do you like when we get on to Soccer Saturday, and then when we get our squad numbers on our shirts, and then we get the blue and yellow net? It's like a progression. And I always felt like the electronic scoreboard, even though they tempted us in some of the FA Cup games we had live on. Remember, like, we were live on TV, and they just bring them along for you because that's nice of them. But it just feels like they're ours now. We just need to turn the contrast and the volume and the brightness down a bit.
not all progress is change for the better. That's all I'm going to say. But to get back to what happened on the pitch, as I said, we made a few changes, didn't really work, and we were well beaten. The point you make there about us being a better counter-attacking team, perhaps, and being better, it does seem the way our... Okay, we didn't start with Bugle on Tuesday. We started Harry Pell. But even with Pell, with Josh, with Ali, with Omar, however you want to line up, they are players, I think, that we are better getting the ball in behind for them to run onto. I think Omar does a pretty decent job as sort of that link striker. He's a pain in the ass. Do you know what to play against? I would absolutely hate playing against him, especially going out for headers, because you know what? He's a bit of a dick, to be honest with you, when it comes to headers, because he always uses his body in such a way that he gets pulled up on it. He'll give away as many free kicks as he'll get away with not giving free kicks away. But he does run that risk every single time with the way he just positions himself, where he leans in, where he gets elbows up. He's an absolute nuisance to play against. But that said, you're right. It's still better for us to be able to be getting Ali and him in the channels, balls in down the sides, turning defenders. And that works on the counter-attack as opposed to when you've got to try and take the game to a team. And when Accrington stood off us and gave us possession, we ended up with Jake Reeves coming so, so deep to get on the ball. And then he's got no options because they're defending so deep as well. All we're left with is stick it in the box and hope for the best.
Yeah, they forced us to play their game. They started off like, I was saying to people around me, I was like, it's like we're giving them a bunch, loads of smarties, and they were just literally buzzing as they come out of the tunnel. They were so full of beans. And they just started really quickly. Early goal. Let's be fair, they had that back pass where we looked... You know, even though it looked a dubious back pass, I think it was. But when Alex Bass picks it up, you just think it started. For me, it felt like we were a little bit relaxed, a little bit. Because even when they tried to take the foot, they put it in the goal and everyone laughed because it was an indirect. They still were first to that. It felt like they were buzzing and all around it, and we were a little bit. So when the goal was scored and then you get the worldie to make it 2-0, they just let us play the game that they knew they would win at, because they would win at a long ball game. It felt like they swamped the midfield a little bit defensively. They tucked in a little bit. So, as you say, Jay Reeves had to go and get it. And normally he can go and get it and then we can start playing. But they just were happy, as you said, to drop off, us knock it long, and then we played into their hands. Massive, massive team. It's interesting. I was chatting to
the... In terms of height.
Yeah. Massive, incredible.
With all due respect.
I was chatting to the BBC Radio Lancashire guy, and he was raving about the guy who scored the header, the fourth goal. Yeah. Says on loan from Norwich, said doesn't lose anything in the air. Mm-hmm. And even he said to me, he said, you're just giving him the ball that he wants all the time. Doesn't want it in behind him. But you're right, we never got a chance to turn him around. And in the end, I felt we played a long ball game against a team that could play that game all day, and they did.
Yeah, and I think you made the point about the midfield with swamping the midfield. Jake Reeves for long spells, Armani Little for the duration, just marked out the game, and that's what ends up happening, is to get any time on the ball, Jake comes so deep, and then we just, as you say, ends up knocking it long, and it just keeps coming straight back at us. It must be said, when we got our goals, even when we got the goals, we still weren't playing well, I wouldn't say. But I know that we had the territory and we were forcing the ball back at them, but we weren't creating anything. There was no creativity. The first goal is Accrington switch off and gift us possession, really sloppy from them. We do well to take advantage. Similarly, they give away a cheap corner for the second goal, but James Tilly, who's not been playing well these last few weeks, but what a delivery from the corner. If you're going to score a goal from a set piece against Accrington, that's exactly the type of ball you need. But they then did start to manage the game pretty well.
it was a bit laughable, if I'm being honest with you, because I just felt the referee didn't really know how to control it. It's all right him pointing to his watch and saying, I'll knock the time on. But you and I know that momentum is something you need to try and build. And when you do that, So it's all right saying that we've got 8 minutes in the end, which I think was probably about right, probably. But those are 8 minutes after they killed the game. So during that, let's be fair, you know, I think the best yellow card I'm going to see for a long while was Ali's, when he took off the player. And yes, he got a yellow card. Interestingly, I was at Meet the Manager, the Junior Dons. I was helping recording it, and there's a fun, I've just done the editing
This
for it.
was
There's a
at
funny bit
Plough Lane on
at
Wednesday.
Plough Lane. It's a funny bit. Someone asked him a question about, did he think it was a good yellow card? And he just said, look, they're whining. They were wind up Merchant and winding me up. And I just lost it. Fair play to them. They made me buy it. I lost it. Right. And then later on, a kid asked a question about bookings. How many bookings has everyone got? And Johnny Jackson was, I didn't realize this, but Josh Davison's got four. Harry Pell's got four. Of course, he's got four. Ogundiri's got four. And Al Hamady picked up his fourth booking.
Yes, it was his fourth, yeah.
And Johnny's made a comment going, and Andy looked really surprised, like, really? And then he goes, you know what happens? And he said to the kids, you know what happens when they get to five and they get a match ban? And Andy just went, oh, I got four. And he went, yep. And Johnny went, that you start thinking about that before you start chucking people off the pitch. And it was just, Johnny was laughing as he said it, but it made you think, you know, we picked up so many. I reckon most of our bookings are for descent.
Yeah, they are.
You know, so we're a game away now. I don't want to cut off it. I think it's mid-November, but we're on a tightrope of one more booking, Ali's out. You know, so not only international games that seem to be forever at the moment, we could lose him for one match. So it was funny, but actually we picked up stupid amounts of bookings.
Yeah, unfortunately, and as you say, with all the international games, we losing him for a number of fixtures, perhaps over the coming months. So I'm not sure if he's going to miss Milton Keynes away, but I think there was a rumour that he might be because of internationals. So that's another pain in the backside, to be honest with you. But on the other point of this is that he's still not scoring goals. It's a hat trick against Tranmere. He got the third against Warsaw, but other than that, still not. And not really on Tuesday night getting in positions to score goals. So we've got to be mindful of this. And especially that when you have got international games, especially when you're travelling the distances he's travelling for them, it all sort of adds up. I mean, the latest rumour as well, talking about missing him for a few games, Sunderland apparently are sniffing around, which we come to expect, but it's a big step up for him.
We could miss him for quite a few games.
We could miss him for quite a few games, and who knows what that would mean for the squad. I mean, the squad at the moment, I think what Tuesday night proved before anything, beyond anything else, is the squad is, I mean, there's more depth in terms of experience and numbers, but in terms of quality, I think we're not there. I think the first 11 is a lot stronger than the depth of the squad beyond that. So that's why I say, I mean, you know, it's not going to harm anyone's expectations if we drop down into mid-table, because I don't think the squad's depth as it is anywhere near enough for us to think about anything.
Do you know what? We have depth in certain areas, but we don't. You know, I've been saying this for a long while. You know, we're expecting Josh Davison to come in when Andy goes on international duty and just come in and play 90 minutes and score goals when he's getting hardly any games. Right?
Yeah.
You know, and people were saying he's not as good as he was last year. Well, he still got 10 goals last year, albeit. Yeah. First part of the season, but he got 10 goals in this league. So people were saying he's not a League Two striker. I disagree with that.
Yeah,
I think the problem we've got is we've got a very good forward in Ali, but I don't see why them two can't play together. Even with Omar in behind, I don't see why you can't do that. But I think the thing is we've got an out and out forward that we will play every game, even if he travels halfway around the world. And I think he's been a bit leggy. But I get why you'd play him, because one, he's a massive crowd favourite. But I just think when you're asking Josh to come on as a bit part player, and even to the extent of Harry Pell, I don't think we can find a position for him that fits. I would probably say he fits in the centre midfield, but he's not going to take Amani Little or Jake Reeves' position. Mm-hmm. He's not a number 10. He's not a second forward. And I think you're right. What you can take away from Tuesday's substitutions at half time and what Johnny thinks is his first team, because you're right, he went back to type, didn't he?
Yeah.
I know he swapped Ogundiri for Hussein Bider. I think them two you could argue who's better than them at the moment, but it was definitely Omar and is obviously with Harry Pell and Nerville coming on as well, even though he didn't recognise him.
No, I didn't recognise him. He said, I didn't realise he was playing until about the 85th minute and suddenly realised. Well, yeah,
not like me asking when Sassu coming on and someone telling me he's not even on the bench.
No.
That's a bit embarrassing when you've just done the team lineup. Anyway, But yeah, I think you're right. I think we have better squad depth. I don't think we have the quality that or the players to come in and really make a difference. I think we've got square blocks in round pegs at the moment.
Square blocks in round pegs.
That's not the saying. That's not the saying, is it? But you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I would say that's what happens when you don't do a podcast for a month. But no, that's just that is a stewism. I mean, that's right up there. Do you know what? Square blocks and round pegs.
It's when I try to get a little bit too clever, isn't it? And then, yeah, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, square pegs and round holes, maybe.
That's it. That's it.
Anyway, we'll move on very quickly because just actually before we do on that note on the substitutions, Conor Evans did start. What did you make of his performance? Very difficult given the nature of the two teams' performances as a whole, but difficult for him to really impose himself on the game. He put in one fantastic cross, which gave us our best chance of the first half. Otherwise, what did you think?
You know what? It's difficult. He got on the end. There was a Tilly cross that was an in-swing cross that I think missed out three players, and he was on the back stick and just missed out on that. He had the shot that the keeper saved, quite a tame shot. Do you know what? I like him. I like him a lot. I think the problem we've got is we've got to try and manage his time coming back in. He's picked up a few niggly knocks, and that's probably for the fact he's not playing an awful lot. Sometimes that can happen. I think, if I'm honest with you, I think he's a more of a goal scoring threat than Josh Nerville was on that side. Okay. I think he will score you more goals than Josh Nerville, but I think when Josh Nerville can face up a defender, he goes past him with ease and can set up Paddy. So I think the good thing you've got, if you can keep both of them fit, you can alternate them, because they both give you different options on that side of the pitch. I don't think we have it on the other side with James Tilly at the moment, but I like him. I worry. We've got to manage his recovery well. Just as I was saying on Tuesday night about Hussein Baida, you know, if you think about it, we've always been like rushing him back as if like we desperately need him.
Yeah.
Whereas this time we haven't. I know we put him on for 45 minutes on Tuesday, but it felt like he's had a long recovery, and we've got to be careful with him in terms of obviously Ogundiri has given us that option to be patient, because he's played well this season.
I mean, one thing that we talk about, players needing time and legginess and everything like this, and Ali's travelling and stuff like this. We've had a lot of long away days this month. We've had Harrogate midweek. We've had Mansfield. We've had Barrow. We've got Morecambe coming up. Actually, getting a home draw in the FA Cup, we've got Cheltenham at home, is massively helpful for us, because then we have a couple of Saturdays at home, back-to-back, no midweek games. I don't know. Well, I say that. There's probably some stupid B-team trophy in there somewhere, but I don't think so. Milton Keynes not far to travel. So, you know, it's not too bad. The other thing I want to point out is Evans and Ryan Johnson as well. You think these lone players that we've got in, they're coming from other League Two clubs. And on Tuesday night, we played, as you said, a centre-half on loan from Norwich in the Championship, a centre-forward who was real handful, real difficult to play against. He was on loan from Birmingham. Yeah. Same thing with Morecambe we'll talk about. They've got their top scorer this season is on loan from Burnley, and that's perhaps the differences there as well. Do you want to look at another different element of Tuesday night, aside from the trains? Stewarding.
It's been interesting.
Can I just say, I would duck out at this point because I'm not allowed to comment about this at all. I'm not allowed to say anything.
I think you are. It's interesting because I didn't realise it. I think they were changed over, weren't they? Was it for the Bradford game or the Tranmere game? One of them. I'd missed the Bradford game because I was going to watch Madonna.
I forgot about that. I will actually just point out at this juncture, when it comes to stewards, I mean, there's always a steward sort of on the West Stand turnstiles or just beforehand, and you know, I'd always sort of smile and say hello or whatever, and perhaps to a steward that stands at the top of the steps as I go into my seat. But otherwise, the whole stewarding issue that apparently we've been having at the stadium, I completely bypasses me in the posh seats where I sit.
Well, yeah, obviously I sit close to you now, and I don't tend to venture too much to the fan zone and stuff like that. So I think that's where some of the issues were in terms of people coming back into the South Stand and stuff like that. But yeah, there was some comments around in terms of the stewards are friendly and nice, and and stuff. And that's good. You know, I've got no issue. If we change the stewards for a reason, we've changed them. What I did notice, and some people have been saying to me, they sing songs and they clap. And hey, look, I'm all for it's interesting. When you think of a steward's job, right, it actually is customer service. It's actually making sure people are welcome to come to the ground. You know, I've heard the chief steward sometimes say, do you know what? Just say hello, goodbye. Hope, you know, this is your seat.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
The nice sort of things. I think that's the right thing to do. I don't necessarily think celebrating and cheering and doing the claps along to songs is, and that's what I, you know, if anyone looks at the Accrington Uncovered that the club have released after Omar scores his first goal, you can just see stewards celebrating, running along that front bit, and then starting the clapping to the songs. And there's a job to do. There's a job to do, you know, and I'm not a killjoy, but they're paid to do a job. I don't think they're paid to sing songs. I think they're paid to make the experience better and nice, but stewarding isn't really nice because sometimes the reason, if a steward speaks to you, it's normally because you're not doing something that the ground regulations are. And I hear some people say these were the Sutton stewards that we had at Sutton. And you know what? At the time, I think they were really, really good stewards. However, they were controlling one stand of 1,000 people. And I think I saw one person sing the song, and it was funny, but it was a one. It was, you can see it once. We do have a problem with our south stand, people coming in from the east, and there is a ground regulation on it. And those barriers are metal. So yeah. There's too many people in it. What I'm saying is you don't want to see your stewards celebrating and cheering a goal and then someone getting, you know, crushed, not crushed, but, you know, uncomfortable
yeah,
in
I
a
mean,
road that's overpopulated.
I mean, I've seen a couple of times in the last couple of seasons where we've had incidences where Colchester away last season, Sutton away this season, where fans have come away, have picked up injuries because of overzealous celebrations and stuff like that. You want your stewards to be, as you say, on it, dealing with that, not perhaps celebrating goals. And I concur with you completely. You know, the friendliness element of it, absolutely 100%. That's what you want. And it's, I mean, we saw it to the, and we have seen it at Milton Keynes a couple of occasions to the absolute nth degree, where the stewards are so overly friendly and overly, they're not joining in with songs and clapping along, but, you know, they're trying to diffuse tension by being, oh, how you doing?
Oh, nice.
And Milton Keynes, I don't want it. I'm like, no, shove it up your ass, to be quite honest with you. I get what the game you're playing, but no, this is, no, I'm not going to interact with you because I'm coming to a place I absolutely hate, and I resent the fact you work for this football club. But I do think the whole friendliness idea, you know, just, it doesn't have to be over the top. Just as you say, a smile and a nod of the head or a pillow is absolutely fine. You can be polite in your dealings with people if they're doing something they shouldn't perhaps doing, like going into the south stand without a south stand ticket. We have to remember, this is safe standing. This is not King's Meadow Terrace. This is not pile in and find a spot wherever you can get one. This is, you have an allocated spot. This is where your ticket is. That's the regulations of the safe standing. And we have to be mindful of that because it could come and bite us in the arse one day.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I say, I'm not a killjoy. It's nice that she was saying hello. And I went down that end, actually, because I was going to get something to eat. And I saw a couple. And previously, even though I've got a pass to go around the ground, they've been telling me to go back. And I'm not one to go, do you not know that I'm a, yeah, I don't do all that shit.
Do you but know who have, I am? Have,
no, I'm one. What I mean by that is I felt they've been overly aggressive, and I just thought, well, I'm not going to bite on it. However, I did that on Tuesday night, and they were fine. I did notice that they were chatting to people, and it's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they can't chat to anybody, but they are there to control the fans. And it's okay if people are saying, oh yeah, but leave them alone. It's nice that he's friendly, singing and stuff. That's fine, but if we do get an incident and it involved one of those, they'd be the first ones to go, why do you not control that? Because that's their job, and that's all. I just don't think I like seeing them celebrating goals. Not that we're scoring many at the moment anyway, and if they were going away with us, they wouldn't be. But yeah, I just think it's something we need to be aware of and mindful, because I do the tours down that end, and I stand in there and show the kids and stuff, and I do say it's safe standing, but these metal barriers for the rows, they are tough. You know, I say a story about years ago when I was at Bolton, and I started at the top of the terrace, and by the time we scored the goal, I ended up down at the bottom of the terrace.
Yeah.
You know, those old days of surging and stuff, they were real, do you know what I mean? And if we had those metal bars, they would certainly hurt if you ended up pushing into them. So it's not being a killjoy, it's just I just found it a little bit concerning.
Those metal bars, I mean, my first experience of them, to be honest with you, because, you know, I don't stand behind a goal anymore, but my first experience of those sort of safe standing in a at a football match was Chelsea this season. And they're a pain in the ass, to be honest with you. Like, because, well, no, because all they've done is they've just screwed them into the concrete in front of the existing seats. So actually, you've got your movement is actually restricted more because of them.
Yeah, you've got a very small gangway as such.
Yeah, and people trying to get past and stuff like that. And it's I didn't really like it, to be honest with you, but then again, I was inside Stamford Bridge, so chances are I wasn't going to like it very much. I don't understand how you can venerate a man like John Terry. I really don't get it. I get the idea of, you know, having that sort of anti-hero or that person that everyone loves to hate, that sort of Robbie Savage at Leicester kind of archetype. But I mean, John Terry's just a horrible human being. He's just an awful person. But anyway, that's by the by. You mentioned a video there, Accrington Uncovered. I have to ask a question. What was uncovered about this? Does the cameraman need an umbrella? Will that help?
It just reminded me we got beat. No, it's a behind the scenes look. So it's players warming up, tunnel, coming into grounds. I quite like them actually. And the one of the guys that was recording was behind the goal. It was interesting because obviously for the first half he was behind a wrong goal. He was up at the away end, but got some really good action of the goals and stuff. I like the idea of it. Obviously, when you lose a game, all you're seeing is reminding yourself of how many goals that Accrington scored. But yeah, cool. It's a good feature. Probably better when you win, but of course when you do it for a game, you don't know you're going to win or lose. And I don't think, I do you know what, maybe I'm a bit foolish, but I wasn't seeing that coming. I thought we were going to beat Accrington. Not comfortably, but I felt we'd win that game on Tuesday before it started. But 10 minutes later, I was like, this ain't going to be us.
I wasn't sure what to expect, to be honest with you. I haven't been giving too much thought to results prior to games, actually, at this point. But when I saw the team lineup and I saw the changes, I must admit, I was a bit like, I also wasn't expecting at that point Armani Little to have perhaps his worst game in a Wimbledon shirt. However, it did give me the great moment where he tried to, he got caught with his back to our goal. Was trying to turn, he was getting pressed and he ended up just dribbling the ball out of play.
Oh, yes.
And I just burst out laughing. I feel sorry, Armani.
It reminded me when I was a youngster, like trying to turn and like that ball keep coming back, come back here.
Yeah, it was, it did make me laugh.
It's interesting you say about my little, I thought probably it was Jamie Reeves' worst game.
Yeah, true.
In terms of, he wasn't poor, he just didn't get the ball. And if you look at possession-wise, Jake Reeves probably has the most touches in every game we have from both sides. And I probably would say he had the least amount of touches in our team on Tuesday night. And that shows what a good job they've done on isolating our threats. And if a team does that, we have to have something to counter to that. And I think we learned that on Tuesday.
Last thing, Josh Davison did come on as a sub. So did James Ball towards the end. I'm not really sure why. But Josh Davison went up playing left wing of a front four, which I'm not sure we shall ever see replicated. Anyway, we must move on, Stu. Before we do so, an Aaron Sass super match game.
Lovely. I've missed these.
This is a good one. Okay. So, we are playing Morecambe this Saturday, and in honour of that, you will remember we saw Morecambe win promotion to the Football League in 2007 at Wembley. They beat Exeter City, if you recall. So that was Morecambe winning promotion to the Football League in 2007. They have remained in the top 91 clubs in the country ever since. 32 teams have won promotion from non-league since then. All right. We would be one of those. Okay. Luton Town would be one of those. Wrexham would be one of those. But six of those 32 have since gone back into non-league, have been relegated back into non-league, okay? Hartlepool United are the most recent ones. The other five, I'm going to ask you to fill in the blanks, but I'm going to give you a little bit of help. I'm not going to blank out their entire names. I'm going to give you some clues, all right?
Okay.
So we have blank town. In fact, we have two blank towns. right? We have a blank United, we have a blank City, and we then just have a blank. My clue is that I think you have accompanied me in visiting all five of these teams. There's one I'm not sure about, but I'm pretty, but certainly the other four, we've been to their stadiums to watch Wimbledon play. So,
Barnet.
That is, yep. I can't remember if have you been to Barnet's new ground?
I went to Underhill.
Oh, Underhill. I remember Underhill. Yeah,
lost their one. I've never been to a new one.
Okay.
Well, I think they've been in there since they've been in on Lee. I think York City.
Yep.
Chesterfield.
No.
Oh,
because they never got promoted from non-league. So since 2007,
they went down, did they?
Who did you say York is right and Barnet? Yeah. So one United, a United, and two towns.
Two towns in.
Yeah.
Oh, Scunthorpe wouldn't be, would it?
No. Two more guesses.
Town.
Yeah.
In non-league. Do you know what, when you said this question, I thought it was going to be easy. The town thing has stumped me.
It's something town and something town.
No, you stumped me on that one. The town thing has stumped me. But then I was thinking Scunthorpe, Chesterfield. Town.
I'll give you just a quick clue for one of the towns, Terry Brown.
Aldershot.
There we go. Another one, the other town, Paul Ince.
Macclesfield.
Macclesfield town, yeah.
I went there, we lost 4-0.
Yeah,
it was one of Lorraine's first, our first game was Wrexham. I think I then took him, Wrexham was a shell, and it still is. I took him to Macclesfield, we lost 4-0, and she started questioning my sanity.
Yep.
Travelling all that way.
Yep, to watch that. Horrendous day. We lost 4-0. The other one was Torquay. Torquay.
Do you know what? I thought about Torquay, then I think you threw me because of the town. I started concentrating on
one United,
town.
Yeah.
But then, and Torquay, a weird one. Went there in League Two, and now they're in the National South, aren't they?
Yep, I know. Sad times.
Size of that club down there.
And Plymouth, obviously, and Exeter, both doing very well for themselves at present time. But anyway, that was a fun game.
Yeah.
We've got another fun game coming up at Morecambe. So we'll have to run through this very, very quickly because there was something else I wanted to quickly mention, which I forgot. But in terms of Morecambe, here we are. So it's another match which is unbeaten at home versus unbeaten away. Last season, they were relegated from League One. They are currently eighth, having won seven. They've lost three games, which is the same amount as us, but they win games as opposed to draw them, which is what keeps them above us. They beat Tranmere 1-0 on Tuesday. They are unbeaten in six and have won their last three. Manager is Derek Adams, who has been twice promoted from League Two, once with Morecambe, once with Plymouth. They had a high turnover of players in the summer after relegation, but their top scorer, as I referenced earlier, on loan from Burnley, is Michael Mellon, who is the son of Mickey Mellon. And he will probably be a big threat for them. A scoreline prediction, Stu. I'm going to say there's no chance we lose because they are not winning four in a row. So, yay.
I'll go 1-1. It'll be a draw. 0-0 or 1-1. I don't see us losing there.
No, same.
Just after you see four goals, what you tend to do is you tend to shut up shop. And I think we'll do that.
I wonder if this might be one of those weird ones where no one sees it coming and we end up going there and winning like 3-0.
I'll take that.
Well, yeah. Elsewhere, there is a big, big game in terms of League Two, in terms of the top of the table, because it is Notts County versus Wrexham on Saturday. But also at the top of the league, where we think the top three, Notts County, Wrexham and Stockport, will probably be the top three come the end of the season. Stockport host Tranmere, struggling Tranmere. Stockport have won their last nine league games in a row. Wow.
And it started at us. It started at our place.
It did. It absolutely did.
And if you look back at that game, we controlled it until we lost both our centre midfielders, which is interesting. On that, but yeah, Morecambe's a weird one because, like, I think we looked at Morecambe, Crawley's recruitment, they're probably down the bottom. But it probably shows you League Two isn't, how can I put it, League Two, if you recruit well, you can do well. You can be okay because Morecambe have easily survived, and they lost a lot of players during the summer, but have replaced them quite well. So if you get your recruitment right, you've got half a chance in League Two, which I think is what we've done. But yeah,
I think a big thing we have to think about is the experience of the manager at this level, similar to what we saw on Tuesday night. I think it makes a big difference. Managerial experience will help you out massively. And on that note, as we are rapidly running out of time, since we last did a podcast, of course, there have been a few managerial changes. Bradford, as we know, sat Mark Hughes. Kevin McDonald's taken temporary charge, obviously got a good result against us. Milton Keynes has sat the manager. I think they've got a manager from Gateshead who's come in and taken them over because the manager from Gateshead obviously likes playing in front of empty stadiums for a living. And Ben Garner at Colchester has also departed. Joey Barton in League One at Bristol Rovers has gone. So the managerial merry-go-round has begun already as we end to the end of October. And we said there, the top three teams, Stockport, Wrexham, Notts County, we expect to be the top three. I would say on the evidence of Tuesday night, Accrington Stanley will be in the top seven. And I think we're doing very, very well if we're thinking about finishing above the likes of Mansfield, who are still unbeaten, Gillingham, Swindon have got a good squad. So, I think 10th is absolutely fine.
Yeah, it's taking shape and it's about progress. You know, if we finish 10th at the end of the season, that's progress and a big progress from last season. Interesting, Gillingham beat Swindon on Tuesday night 1-0. They were stopping a rot. They'd lost four games before that and don't have a manager, which is interesting. They got rid of
Neil Harris.
But the rumour, strong rumour at the moment, is Scott Lindsay from Crawley will be taking over at Gillingham, which is interesting because I thought he would be leaving that club anyway, but I expected him to be leaving through the back door rather than the front door.
I think that could be a bit of a square block in a round peg.
He wants to go to Gillingham. To be fair, if you've been at Crawley, you've experienced the shit. So I can't think
who. I think they might have lost a Crew at home last weekend. I was watching the goals back at the. I just happened to see that big giant football on that stupid roundabout still there. After all these
years. Do you know what? Crawley has so many roundabouts that that's the only thing that I used to recognise. I lived there for a good 8-9 years, and there were so many roundabouts. I didn't know where I was half time. If we got lost, I was buggered. But when I saw that big football, I knew where I was.
And on that note, we should probably call things a day there. The only other thing I was going to mention, Stu, of course, was with all having not done a podcast for a little while, Ryan McLean and Morgan Williams have gone out on loan. Ryan McLean's gone to Kidderminster. That was the latest one. And that might be one of those where we've taken a punt on someone and it might not pay off. But hey, it is.
Yeah, we've got one. We've got one returning, but we're not too sure if he's in the country yet or not.
Yeah, say no more on that one, I think. Again, another player that perhaps, future may lie away from AFC Wimbledon, let's be honest. But that is it. So, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Apologies for the break in service that we've had. Hopefully, we'll be back to normalish from here on in. And don't forget, updates from the game with Morecambe will be available on our Twitter at 9WirelessPodcast, as will games coming up at home to Cheltenham in the FA Cup, at home to Doncaster in the league, and then we travel to Milton Keynes, which we need to start giving some thought to as well, because if I want nothing else from this season, I just want to smash Milton Keynes. But hey.
And don't forget, we've got a London derby against Crystal Palace in the EFL Trophy.
I will forget that. Don't worry. Stu, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. That is us for this week. So can I remember what the sign-off is? What is it? Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last. 2 + 2 = 4. Stick your square blocks in your round pegs. I've set Stu's Alexa off again, and we shall speak to you again next Friday.
Unplug both of them, then plug the router back in. Wait 30 seconds. Once the router is back in,
shut up, Alexa.